Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to be seated. Water is a powerful and important thing. It makes up 60% or so of our bodies. About 71% of the earth is covered in water. With enough force, water can cut through metal. And in nature, it will wear through rock over time. You don't have to tell anyone here in Iowa or down south, particularly in Texas and Mississippi, about the destructive power of water. Even a thin layer of frozen water can make roads impassable. Burst pipes can ruin homes. Floodwaters can carry them away. Water driven by the wind of a derecho or hurricane can work its way in anywhere. And yet, without water, we will die after 3 days. Without water, crops won't grow. Life can't exist. Water is a powerful and important thing. And it is amazing what God does with water. Salvation through the waters is a common theme in scriptures and in all three of our lessons from today. We'll hear them echoed again in our baptismal liturgy in just a moment. Through the waters of the flood, God delivered Noah and his family. The Israelites pass through the waters of the Red Sea out of slavery and into freedom. And at the River Jordan, this boundary between the wilderness and the promised land, John baptized Jesus, who was then anointed with the Holy Spirit. Is it any wonder that God acts through baptism? Water and the Word, which is more than just a washing to get rid of the filth off our bodies, as Paul reminds us today. This is true even for Jesus. As he is coming up out of the waters, the heavens are schismed apart. The Holy Spirit lands on him. A voice from heaven declares, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And that same Spirit drives him into the wilderness. The word used literally means that Jesus is thrown there. What is it about these words from the rent open sky that drive Jesus into the wilderness, that throws him there? Perhaps it is because Jesus encounters his full identity in those waters, Son of God, Beloved, with whom God is well pleased. And it throws him not for a loop, but out of himself into the wilderness to struggle with what that means for him and for the world. What does it mean that Jesus is thrown into the wilderness and does not choose it? What are we to make of this testing, which lasts 40 days, which, even if it's not literal, is a biblical term for a long time? When those days are over, the Jesus who enters Galilee is clear about who he is and what he is called to do. He is clear about his identity. But it didn't come quickly, did it? Just like our own identity doesn't come quickly, all in a flash, but it happens over time. Surely there are things that center us, that root us in who we are. For Brooklyn, baptized today, it is child of Jason and Kim, beloved sibling of Weston and Kylan. But the particularities of that identity that grow out of that, that root that is there, takes time. A little longer than 40 days. Some of us at 40 years or more are still trying to figure it out. The root of Jesus' identity, Son of God, beloved, is what throws him into the wilderness. He is made into something new, or at least his own understanding is changed. And it takes time to figure that out. And even then, it is tempting for Jesus to listen to what the world wants, to live how the world defines him. That's the voice of the tempter, Satan. Now, we aren't told in Mark what Satan wants, but there is another point in Mark's story where he reappears, and it actually takes place just before last week's text about the Transfiguration. Peter has declared that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus then predicts that he will be handed over to the authorities and be put to death. Peter then pulls Jesus aside and basically says, God forbid this should happen. The Messiah is not about being arrested and dying shamefully on a cross, a sign of rejection and weakness, a common criminal. No, the Messiah is about strength, political and military power and might, the forceful taking of the true power of God in the world and getting in the face of the world and showing it who's boss. This is the identity the world's trying to place on Jesus, what he's tempted by in the wilderness. But Jesus' response to Peter, get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind on earthly things and not heavenly things. This is the same rejection Jesus gave to Satan in the wilderness. My identity rests in my Abba, my Father, not in the world and not in you. The world does not define me. God does. And one of my colleagues talked about this text from Mark in terms of three scenes, ones that kind of flash across the screen of our mind in quick succession. The baptism, giving Jesus his identity, the wilderness and living into what that identity means, struggling with it, Galilee and living out this identity with his proclamation. And these scenes describe our life. Baptism. In these waters, we are changed, thrown into a new creation. And it can take some time to figure out what that means totally. But this core identity as God's beloved, claimed by God in the ultimate act of love in Jesus Christ on the cross, this is what roots the rest of our lives against all the temptations of the world to come. Baptism, as someone said, is commissioning, not fire insurance. It is the giving of identity, the fullness of which takes some time to discern, but which will lead to lives of proclamation. A focus on heavenly things, not earthly things. Our reading of Paul's letter to the Galatians will help us think about this proclamation and living more. Water is a powerful and important thing, and it is amazing what God does with water. And we will see that this morning as we bear witness to the baptism of Brooklyn and Kim. In Brooklyn, we will see the planting of the seed of identity as beloved child of God, who after her washing in these waters in the Word will be a new creation, a new Brooklyn, and who we will watch eagerly with her parents, Jason and Kim, to see what gifts the Spirit has given her, to see what will grow from that root of her identity as God's beloved, to see how she will discern what that identity means and to see what her life will proclaim. In Kim, we see the reality that the Holy Spirit has already been at work. Through her friends in junior high, through her grandparents, her husband Jason, and his family, she has already been called and gathered by the Holy Spirit, who settles in Jesus. But in these waters, she too will receive that indelible sign of the reality of God's claim on her and her life. The one to which Martin Luther clung when everything was shaken around him: I am a baptized child of God. And we will watch eagerly as she begins to discern where the Spirit has thrown her, how this identity as beloved child of God, one with whom God is well pleased, will mesh with her other vocations as mother, wife, friend, to see what will grow out of the root of her identity as one of God's beloved, to see how she will discern what that identity means, to see what her life will proclaim. Beloved of God, water is a powerful and important thing, and it is amazing what God can do with water. And so as we celebrate with Jason, Kim, Brooklyn, and their family as they come to this font for the washing of water and the Word, may we take a moment to remember our own washing. That moment when we came out of the water, the heavens may not have been ripped in two. That would have been a bit disconcerting, wouldn't it? But we heard these same words: you are a beloved child of God. Take a moment today. Trace that cross on your forehead, the same one that lay beneath the ashes this past Wednesday, the one that never goes away. The indelible promise from God that you are claimed and beloved. And may we be inspired to continue to discern what that identity means in our lives. And let us trust the message that through that water and the Word and in us and our living out of our identity, our proclamation, the time is fulfilled. And the kingdom of God has come near. Thanks be to God. I invite you to